Welcome to Jumping the Turnstile, very special edition. This is Timmy Taco flying solo today. I've been instructed by Jezbot, who is out and about dealing with many fencing community concerns. He's instructed me to give us a bloody flashback episode, Why the Bloody Hell Not. It's one of the Where Were You series when we ran an episode called, I think it was called Slam Poetry, featuring Turnstile Records' very own Sean Enough, Timmy Taco, and Jezbot. So we're going to go into an older episode. It's episode 149, Slam Poetry. It is available on Spotify, YouTube, and all of your familiar podcast apps. Let's get into the episode proper. A flashback episode 149, Jumping the Turnstile, Slam Poetry. Hit it, boys.
I'm Jezbot.
I'm Timmy Taco.
And I'm Sean Enough.
Welcome to Turnstile Records Presents the Escape Pods.
Pods?
Do we even know the name?
I don't even know.
The name's terrible, let's face it.
We're back. We're back.
Wait, what was that?
I'm just saying, it's
very wordy.
It's wordy. I mean, it's a great concept, great name, and it is everything that we stand for. Turnstile Records, great.
Yes.
The Escape Pods,
check.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Say it all together when you're trying to get your name across concisely.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. And, you know, everybody listening probably has experience, you know, trying to find the Escape Pods, trying to find your favorite, much beloved Escape Pods is difficult unless you go down the Turnstile Records Presents Avenue.
Correct. This is
one
correct.
More outburst and I'll hold you with the
tent. Oh, welcome back. The soundboard. It has been, I don't know, 25 episodes.
It's been a while.
And I'm your brother.
Yeah. I am your brother.
I am your brother.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, soundboard's back.
Excellent.
But I'll take all that on board, Sean Enough.
Well, we did think we should change it earlier. I did. I thought we should change it.
How do you change it?
You just change the name of it.
How though?
We have a meeting and we decide.
No, but like on the other end of it. We're too deep.
Actually do it. Yeah, that's right.
Does it cancel out all of our valuable listens, you know?
The stats.
Yeah, and whatnot.
The analytics. Like Gandhi say, just because you spent ages on a mistake doesn't mean you have to keep making it.
Yeah, it's not all about stats, Jezbot.
You know, we could start anew, we could start fresh.
Hey, that's not what I was saying. I'm sorry, I shouldn't bring it up, but hey.
It's out there now.
Flush the 140-odd episodes down the toilet.
Down the gurgler.
And start again.
Does
it work like that?
No, it doesn't. People have changed their names. Fat Man or Batman is now Beyond Fat Man because Kevin Smith lost all the weight.
Yep, so, right. Okay.
You know, it can be done.
Take it on board, boys. Thanks. Thanks for...
We should have our...
Cancel the t-shirt order.
Yeah.
Prince did it.
We could have our meeting about the Escape Pods after.
Really great.
Well, what have we got in the news this week? Are we to start off with a bit of a news story?
Lots of news.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of not much news. It's one of them, you know, them spooky lulls in news.
Okay.
Really?
Okay, should I hit the new theme?
Yes.
Okay, you ready?
I am.
North, east, west, south.
It's the news.
One more time.
Okay.
North, east, west, south.
It's the news.
Yeah?
It was good. I was listening to Golden Oldies the other day. And I heard that. I said, hey, that's our segment.
Is it really golden, though?
No, it's not.
The Wild Wild West?
It's not a Golden Oldie. It's
Golden Plains of rolling sand and...
Look, it's utter trash, and I've heard it too many times, and I think we could do without it.
Yeah, but we can't do without news.
No, we can't. Let's hear the first story.
Well, okay.
Talking about news, just quickly.
Oh, news as in the whole subject.
Well, being news, a somewhat news-orientated program.
We can say that.
We dabble in news.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Be it secondhand news or paraphrase news.
Hearsay.
We deal in news, and we've been aware of having influence.
Yes.
You know,
Or Mary bought herself an air conditioner.
Right,
exactly.
Yep.
Or the weird things where you mention something and it pops up.
Yeah, that's right. The Ghostbusters is a great example.
Just recently happened with
Huey Lewis on the news.
That's right.
Yep.
Waterworld apparently is getting a reboot.
Oh, is it?
And we were just talking about that last week.
But now, are they remaking it, or are they just going to revamp it, like splash a bit more water on it?
I think they're just, yeah, I think it's just like director's cut.
You know what we need water to do with down. This movie? We need to throw more money at it.
It is 40 minutes longer, so it's definitely diluted. But we don't have the same amount of influence as some of our more major news outlets do. Say, you know, Herald Sun, The Age.
Yep. Yep.
A few days ago, they were touting Tony Mockbell as a prime influencer in the prison system.
Uh-huh.
Really giving him the real big up.
I did see
from
that.
The media.
Yeah, okay. He sounded like a regular Robin Hood in there, didn't he?
Okay,
yeah.
But what happened to him? It got him pretty stabbed
it
up.
It got him shivved, Tim.
Shivved.
Shanked?
Yeah.
Shanked or shivved?
Shiv. You shiv with a shank, or you...
Maybe shank, the shiv shank. Is the shiv is the forward action and the shank is the yank back action.
Yeah. Yeah. Any of our more educated listeners on the shivving practice, get back to us.
But, please don't.
But yeah, so, and similar things have happened with other underworld criminals when they get the nod of approval.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Ned, you got your Ned Kelly. You got your, who else? You got your Chopper Reed.
Yep.
He got a good nod.
He got a nod and then he got stabbed.
Yeah.
As did Carl Williams.
Well, Carl Williams.
He got a nod and then was beaten to death with a bit of an exercise bike.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good times.
In the Barwon prison.
I think what I've heard, like the conspiracy is that there's this new... what happened? There was an informant. There was a barrister.
Yeah.
That was an informant for the 5-0.
Right.
And so she was saying to her clients, plead guilty, you'll get a lesser charge.
Okay.
She will go to the cops with, you know, this personal information that she's been told.
Yep.
So that's all coming up now. Like, there's hundreds of cases that...
They're just getting put in there...
Retrials. Okay. So the fear was that Tony Mockbell would go for a mistrial and try to, you know, go through the system again.
Yep. Mm.
So maybe it's a little bit of a warning out there.
Out there from the...
don't try to get out. Because we're going to shank you with the shiv.
Yeah, and do your best to stay out of the old prison there.
Yeah.
I just found out that Barwon Prison's near Geelong. Didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go.
Lots of prisons out there.
Yeah, is there?
Yeah.
Lots of.
Oh, well, that's the prison way of Victoria.
That's the
you
way
go out west,
yeah.
Don't
yeah.
you?
I've never been.
Little River, okay. Out near the Yuyangs. It's a nice country.
Okay.
But yeah, if it's definitely probably a message there. from the top. What did you say?
Yeah, let's...
I've got a... it's the news thing just here.
Yes.
It's called Poo Ticket for Cabbie. I haven't had a poo story in here for...
Is that like Death
one
Cat?
Week?
Is that like Death Cat for Cutie, the band?
Is that a band name?
I think so.
Oh, yep. Don't buy me tickets to that concert. A cabbie has been issued with a poo ticket by police after a code brown incident in Melbourne's northeast. Night patrol officers say they were confronted by their own full moon after witnessing a taxi driver making a deposit on the nature strip at Chernside Park this month. The cabbie came pre-armed with the toilet paper and was made to bag his deposit before being handed a solid $645 fine.
Wow.
For the offence shortly before 3 a.m. last night. And now we're getting a security warning. I don't know if you can hear that in the background.
Yeah.
We are getting a security warning.
It could very well be what else is in the news for me.
Mm.
And it's our old mate.
Hello, Trevor.
He's back again.
There it is. There he is.
There he is.
What is back? Trevor up to this time?
Well, we've...
Are we sidebarring the it's the news now?
Well, no, this is in the news for the listeners because they've been keeping up to date with the news on Trevor. So sure. it's in the news.
I'll
so.
Just hide the side tab here. We were talking about a man pooing on a nature strip.
We will. I'll get to Trevor in just 1 second. But they've basically caught this guy in action. Mm. And they put up on the police iWatch page. We have a code brown. I repeat, a code brown. So, more phantom pooers.
They're out there.
Taxi drivers and the like.
Is $640 enough?
$645.
We've got to stamp it out. I think it's
You need a deterrent.
You do. I think we could up it. I think we should double it.
Double it.
Double it. Deuce it, I would say.
I don't know. No, well, it's a difficult one because if someone really needs a poo, you can't slap them for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you really need a poo.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But
sometimes
he was pre-armed. He does it all the time.
He knows that if he brings his toilet paper, he's going to probably need it and use it.
But look, you've got to. I always have a roll of dunny paper in my ute.
You're a tradie.
Okay.
Just in case.
Yep. But you're going to bloody on-site.
Tell you
hot
what,
boxes.
Tell you what those cabbie drivers need to do is put a stick of deodorant in the glove box as well as the roll of toilet
as
paper.
Well as the Tic Tacs.
Oh, not all of them, of course. You know, I think that.
But after a 12-hour shift, you're sweating.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You can't smell it because you've been fermenting in your own stank. But
that's
I can.
True.
Yeah, as soon as you get in, you can smell it, eh?
There should be a rating system for cab drivers as well. I'll just put that out there.
Okay.
Let's now go to Trevor.
Hello, Trevor!
So there it is. There he is.
So we've checked our security camera
mm-hmm.
and trying to identify when the car has been scratched again.
Yet
at the front
again.
Of our place. And while we're looking at the footage, we see our young mate Trevor
mm-hmm.
coming up the street, and he stops at the big tree that's there in the middle of the shot,
mm-hmm.
and starts throwing rocks and or bits of
gum nuts. Maybe I'm thinking,
quite possibly.
He can't afford rocks.
Yeah, at magpies. He's throwing them at magpies in the tree.
Yeah,
throws eight, I believe.
Yeah, you showed you sent me the footage,
mm.
and it's very strange. Did you say it?
And it is strange because you referred to Trevor as a young mate. He's not a young mate.
No.
He's an old mate.
Yeah. Old balls. Grey balls.
Yeah.
His jeans are as old as he is.
Mm.
No belt still. He did have an umbrella under his arm, I noticed.
Okay. His jeans are tracksuit pants.
He loads up the first one, throws this rock into a tree, and he almost falls over. So he sort of repositions himself.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, okay, well, that's weird. One rock's weird. But then another seven. So
yeah.
It's premeditated.
Well, I'm of two thoughts. That he doesn't know there's a camera on him and he's doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just an every day in the life of. on his way up to the dish lickers.
Yes. Actually hates wildlife.
Hates wildlife. Likes the dogs and the horses,
mm.
but doesn't like birds.
Only when you can gamble on them.
I don't like chicks and birds. he's a bit cuckoo caca. So there's either that or he knows the camera's there
mm.
and he's putting on a show to say, why would anybody do this? I don't know the camera's here, so I wouldn't do anything to your property because I don't know.
The double bluff.
The double bluff.
Yes. I haven't seen your camera. That's why I'm throwing
rocks
in a tree like a crazy person.
What kind of a maniac would do that on camera?
Yeah.
Depends how good a throw he is.
Not a very good one.
Not a good one.
No.
Because
it took him eight shots, and then he throws his hands up in the air. And goes,
like
nah,
he's, fuck
yeah.
It.
Cut it.
Well, what are his odds of hitting a magpie anyway?
Whatever.
If he was genuinely disappointed, then maybe he had high expectations of himself.
I'd say it's less than 8%.
Do you think he's got a personal vendetta against that particular family of magpies? During the spring, if you're not from around here, these parts, the magpies swoop. They swoop you.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's been swapped.
Well, I did used to drive one of those miniature motorized motorbikes around before they were completely banned.
Mm. So, finally got a car.
Yeah. Can get around. You know, that's highly illegal to ride those things around.
You're just going up to the bloody dish lickers.
You're right, though. Could have been swept.
Yes.
Could have been holding a grudge. Yeah. Could have been spooked. Boy, yeah. They're quite alarming when the magpies go off here and you're not expecting it.
No, that's right. You just hit yourself.
It could have been swooshed.
And then they make that snapping sound that sounds like they hit you really hard.
Yep.
It's really quite something.
That's when you've got to hold your nerve and not turn around because that's how you lose your eyeball.
Yeah, but
you turn around to see what's going on and he plucks your eyes out.
Mm.
But also, if you make eye contact with them, they don't swoop you.
Oh, really? You stare them down?
Like, if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where they're all nesting, you look at them as you're walking through. And that's why they have those, you know, the ice cream hats.
Yeah.
The ice cream container hats.
With the eyes on the back.
Painted on the back. Mm. That's the theory behind that.
So, when you're riding your bike and you've got your stack hat and you've got an ice cream container on your head.
Yeah, 80% of the people don't know it's anything related to magpies.
No, have you seen the stack hats that are cable ties tied on them?
Oh, yeah.
Cable ties to stick out. They look pretty wild. Mm. If you don't know what's going on there, you think, madman.
What's going on with these Australians?
Yeah. What is with that? We know.
So, what are we going to do about this Trevor guy? What can be done? So, we've put in cameras. This doesn't seem to deter him.
I'm going to have to have words. Mm. We're coming down to words. and it's going to have to be to the nature of, I've got footage of you, mate.
Mm.
Just bloody fly right. Or else.
So I got a phone call from you the other night saying, can you come and have words with me and
come
Trevor?
With me. And then Jeremy completely pushed out. I'm really busy.
Busy tonight.
No, before the words are spoke, I need to have on-camera footage.
So we're never going down there. This is his way out of not bashing Trevor.
Yeah. I just said words with. I reckon words. The Cuzzy Bros might be...
Could get the Cuzzy Bros to come down.
They're all rappers. They're good with words.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? Do you?
No, I don't know.
Anyway, that's terrible. It's a terrible thing that your car keeps getting scratched. He's a piece of shit.
He is.
We know it's him.
Yeah, we do.
Anyway, back to the news. This one's from livescience.com. I like to cite my sources, if you will. And this is January 25th, so it's pretty recent.
Yeah, okay.
A drunk man swallowed a live, venomous, spiny catfish. Here's what happened.
What happened?
Well, you just swallowed it. So it's basically a drinking game, traditional drinking game in the Netherlands. And this guy thought he was a regular jackass, you know, the show Jackass.
Yep.
And what usually happens is you have the drink and then you swallow a goldfish.
Right.
Like an aquarium goldfish, not some sort of weird-ass species that you don't know.
With spikes on his back.
Yes. According to the recent case report published on Jan 17th in the journal... Attica Otal... Nah, fuck it. Don't worry about it.
I like to cite my references.
The young men typically swallowed live goldfish out of their home aquarium, small squishy creatures that don't put up much of a fight. The fun stopped on April the 3rd, 2000. Oh, this is 2016.
Doesn't matter.
When one of the men...
First time I've heard it.
Yeah, it's fresh news to me. When one of the men tried to take their tradition a bit further by swallowing a bronze catfish, a popular aquarium fish with some powerful natural defenses.
Uh-oh.
Yes. It goes on, perhaps unsurprisingly, the night ended with the 28-year-old man...
Bleeding from the ears.
Yeah, in the emergency room where puzzled doctors carefully removed a spiny fish from the man's throat. So, it goes on. He's a bit of a dumbass. Here's a picture of the X-ray, and he's got clearly a goldfish in his throat.
Lodged in his esophagus.
Jackass of the week, I would like to say, or of 2016 anyway.
Yeah.
Were we even recording podcasts in 2016?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You're playing somewhat of a drinking game over there, Jezbot.
What's that, Tim?
The beers you've got there, faux beers.
Faux beers. I'm still doing dry for Feb Fast.
Yeah, see, I think this is the kind of a loophole here.
What loophole?
Well, you're playing beer games where you go to Woolies and you buy a six-pack of what looks like and tastes like beer, but is known as, ultra light.
Yes.
Explain yourself.
Well, it's a Cooper's Ultra Light that you can get off the shelf. A 16-year-old could buy it. So it's non-alcoholic, but it says... Less than 0.05. That's 0.5, sorry, of
kombucha
alcohol.
Has the same alcohol content as that.
Yeah, see, I don't know this kombucha.
Ah, kombucha. It's coming just, right at you.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I don't know what to make of it either. I think it's a bit of a hype thing, you know.
But does it taste like any particular beer?
It tastes fermented.
Okay.
You know that taste.
Yeah, that taste.
There's
a wide variety of flavors.
So it's fermented from malt, hops, and yeast. Obviously, the alcohol's been taken out of it somehow, but it's a nice little side dish.
Okay.
I've only had, this is my...
15th.
No, third one all month.
Yeah.
So I'm doing all right.
Okay, it's the 1st of February.
I'm not on the date of recording. No, but it's just a little... what I'm thinking about on this Friday when we go to that party that we're going to, thinking about bringing a whole bunch of these and seeing if I can fool myself into drinking these all night.
Yeah.
To keep... Because I was going to have a hall pass, just a one night.
You're going to let an allowance.
An allowance. Yeah. But I think I might just try to drink this all night.
Wow. Okay.
What do you think?
See how you go. I think you're going to be angry by 8:35.
I reckon you're stealing everybody else's beers by 9.
This beer is fucking shit. Sick of techno. Give me real beer.
So it is a techno party.
It is a techno
party. What's expected of us?
Dance to techno. Let's just have a techno party.
Do I need to wear my old school raving gear? Do I need a lollipop?
No, I don't think anything like that. I think it's just rock up. We're just going to play.
Comfortable footwear.
No, definitely.
I think that's Clarky's way of telling me not to play hip hop.
Oh, yeah. I see.
But do you have to, like the old Melbourne shuffle days, put the duct
powder?
Duct tape around the edges of your shoes to make them rubber obsolete so they slide more. Then you put a bit of talcum powder.
Okay, we never did the tape trick. No tape. We did the talc.
Oh, dude, I remember meeting these hardcore shufflers that carried tape, fresh tape, because you had to retape, and they'd carry little razor blades so they could do full cuts, perfect tape jobs.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yep, down there, you know.
But that's your
really,
that's
really involved. The tape that would be right into it. Yeah.
That's a high level shuffler.
Oh, that's right.
That's a professional.
Is there still shufflers out there, Melbourne shufflers?
Jeez, I don't know. I haven't seen a shuffler for a while. I'll tell you, I went to St Kilda Fest on the weekend. Apparently,
really
420,000 people walked through St Kilda.
Maybe. Is that a lot?
Yeah, you can gasp now. Yeah,
well, there was a lot of people.
I went to Love Parade in Berlin, and there was over a million, so 400,000.
Yeah, well, half that.
Okay, that's pretty good.
A little bit less than half of that.
It's pretty impressive.
And
yeah, but I didn't see any shufflers.
Did the tradish walk from one end to the other.
Yeah, walked around.
Shuffled around.
Got a potato on a stick. And
yeah. Now, was it shoulder to shoulder, or did you have a bit of your own
No, it was
space?
Actually quite nice. It was like an M.C. Escher image. You know, like around you could be quite a bit of space, but as you looked up the street, everybody merged into one sea of people. You know, it's sort of like the gradient thickened as you look further into the distance. Kind of like looking at the Blue Mountains on a hazy evening.
Right. What happens? I've never done it.
Oh, it's just, you know, as the mountains get further in the distance, then there's extra layers of haze and everything merges into one color.
I like it.
Eventually.
This from the mountain man over here. You were claiming you were a mountain man earlier.
I used to be a mountain man.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a hike from one end of St Kilda to the other.
There is talk of doing another hike, though.
There is.
Mm.
But before you go into that, do they still do the skate competitions down the bottom of down the bottom near the beach there? They used to do skaters.
Surf, dive, and ski. I think it was outside of there. And actually, one of our co-hosts, Dan Oz, he was quite the rollerblader.
Mm.
And they used to set up a ramp down in front of this skate shop, and they would the boys would be going off. What's a good rollerblading expression?
Scooting? Scooting about?
Is that what the rollerbladers would say? Yeah, bro, let's go scooting.
Let's go mincing.
I'll tell you, in reference to this, I'm going to look up some quotes from the 1993 rollerblading epic movie,
okay,
Airborne.
I remember that.
Stream of consciousness, whatever. Is that
Christian Slater?
Nah, I think it's like Jeremy Jordan.
Oh,
but there
was
a few. Actually, it was a debut for a few popular actors from this time.
So Jack Black being one of them, Christian Slater was Gleaming the Cube.
Yeah,
wasn't
what
it?
What else were we in?
Prayer, was it Prayer of the Roller Roller Boys?
No, that's Corey Haim. Roller Boys.
That was, yeah, that was another sick one.
Yeah.
But yes.
Geez, they really went heavy on the rollerblading.
Yeah, well, look. You
this is going to last forever.
Rollerblading is like the next thing with wheels, man.
Yeah.
So let's just say that's pretty obscure.
Little bit obscure.
It's obscure. So
obscure enough. I mean, like I said, Seth Green was in it. Jack Black was in it. Looking back on it, it's actually it's a little bit more popular than you'd think. But the main character, Mitchell Goosen, was a young, reckless kid from LA that had been shipped to Cincinnati. From the warm surfing beaches of Los Angeles.
I hadn't been exposed to the life of blading.
But this is how rollerbladers are supposedly talked in 93. Go to the beach and don't have to wear a tie. Then I'll be styling. Styling? What? What? Styling? Let me tell you what styling is. What's styling? The perfect session. A-frame wave, ground swell, spitting out salt water in your face, doing a little lip action move, a 360 without a bounce. I call it a liquid Drano, wannabe Bullwinkle. I tell you no lie, my friends. Whoa. It's a consciousness razor. It's a consciousness razor. I think that move he called the liquid Drano wannabe Bullwinkle.
Wannabe Bullwinkle.
So I'm just popping a liquid
and
Drano
I'll totally
wannabe Bullwinkle.
Spray salt water in your faces.
A bit salty.
Yeah.
Glad that time's over.
It's probably due for a remake. Are we gonna say that now and do the old Ghostbusters test and see if that's the next big thing?
Who knows? We can only hope, can't we?
Well, look.
I think if you're remaking that, it's gotta be scooters.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get a skater in there. You make an Avenger team
of wheel based.
Yeah. Hey, if Rollerblades comes back, Airborne will come back.
Yes. Well, you have a wheelchair basketball player.
Yes. A BMXer,
yeah.
A traditional roller skater.
a tap dancer.
A circus trainer on a unicycle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
There it is.
There it is.
There he is.
Yes.
Is this Pitch That Bitch?
Another
segment.
Yeah.
So it's a movie based, it's wheel based.
Wheel based movies.
Extreme sports. Oh, and there's an Aquaman based character. Is that jetpack guy? You know, have you seen those jetpacks that only work on the water? It's like a big
so he's always at least 2 kilometers away from any of the action.
Yeah.
I got you covered, boys. Yeah. Would you try one of those jetpack things? Or do you think you'd go in the drink? Because didn't your eye sockets fill up with water when you tried out some kind of water sports?
Yeah.
What happened
then?
That was
bad.
That's a flaw.
I was on the, we were up at the Murray. It was one of the times I almost drowned. And you're on the biscuit behind the boat. You know what the biscuit is?
Oh, yeah. The inflatable ring.
Yeah,
that
it's like
towed.
A donut. And we're on it. It was a tandem donut.
Yep.
And inevitably, we came off, but the boat was going extremely fast, too fast, whipped us around, and we bounced.
Southern 80s style.
It was, man, and we came off, bounced on the water, cartwheeled. I remember it clearly. Going that fast, I was like, totally cartwheeled over it, and then just face-planted the water, and I was concussed. My nose is bleeding. My eyes were bulging out of my head.
You had nosebleeds for about 2 months or something.
About 2 months, that's right.
You must have hit the water so hard. I think you don't have to be afraid of normal water getting in your eye sockets.
It was full on.
Would you do jetpacking as
well? Well, jetpacking, no, I'm not going to do jetpacking. I'm not going to do jetpacking.
No.
Okay.
I did do kneeboarding. The first time I did kneeboarding, I'd strap myself in too tight. I was a youngster.
Couldn't get out.
Yeah, couldn't get out. Flipped over at the end of it, and end of the run, my board just slowed down, and then I flipped over, and then I was underneath, strapped into this kneeboard, and I couldn't get the strap off.
Yeah, so that's a bit stressful.
The second time I went kneeboarding, I was in Queensland, and
my knees fell off.
And went off the wake, and just, it was a wooden kneeboard.
Ooh.
And just, fucking head-butted the... Came down. Head-butted the tip of the kneeboard.
Oh,
see that scar there that goes across the forehead? Yeah, that's from that day. I went, oh, my God, I hit my head, and I put my finger, index finger, on my skull.
Oh,
I went, oh, that's bone.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
That's rich.
And then the biscuit incident.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the last time I've really tried.
Pass on water sports.
Speaking of biscuits.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Something's got my goat just a little bit recently.
Oh, yeah?
Punch me in the face.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the fucking face.
I was on that one.
Talk about punching me in the fucking face. This is a punch in the face. Arnott's Monty's.
Don't even start me.
No. I mean, I remember a time now we've been talking about movies getting, you know, rebooted.
Yep.
No, not thinking of original material to inspire new generations. No, they're relying on old stories being retold.
Mm.
And the same thing is happening in the biscuit industry, I've found.
Oh, no.
What happened to thinking of something new, something that can engage the consumers on a new level and excite us again?
A new treat, a new biscuit-based treat.
Something else, a new biscuit to eat. But no, last night I was confronted with something called Monty's. Now, I didn't think two twice. I didn't think two thrice.
Yeah.
But I didn't think at all, it seems.
No.
Because I bought these biscuits because they looked chocolatey, but they were called Monty's.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I had my reservations about them, but when I got home and opened the packet, I realized that my true fears were confirmed, that Monty's are actually just the biscuit parts of Monte Carlo's dipped in chocolate.
What?
Half of a Monte Carlo, no cream, dipped in chocolate.
Ripped off.
Wow.
Do you know, are you aware of the Monte Carlo flavor profile?
Yes, I'm fully aware of it.
That's not a chocolate biscuit.
No. Doesn't need to be.
Mm.
It doesn't need to be. You're right there.
It's a standalone.
It's a standalone. The cream does help it across, but it's the biscuit. It's not a standard sugary biscuit.
And you know what? Those digestive biscuits that you keep banging on about, don't try to hide your shitty biscuit in chocolate. That's what I'm saying.
And you're not digestive.
Yeah, it's not helping my digestion at all.
Has no digestive benefits whatsoever. And they use palm oil, which is bad.
Mm. Okay.
Orangutans, Tim.
Orangutans.
You should be right up on that one.
All I'm saying is punch in the fucking face.
Yes.
Think of something new. Don't be breaking old products in half and then like throwing a bit of sherbet on it and then calling it a new jam.
Yeah. You know?
Sherbet jam.
It's not. I'm just saying.
Oh, I like it.
Arnott, get your shit together.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, get your shit together, Arnott.
Punch in the face.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the fucking face.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that movie pitch we just did and, you know. Pitch that bitch. You know, you're always saying come up with new ideas.
Mm.
That's what you just said then.
So
it's
basically hypocrisy. You're always saying that 5 minutes ago.
I was thinking of a name. Let's just workshop the name. Wheelie Boys. Wheelie. No?
What's Wheelie Boys?
You know, because they're all on wheels.
Oh, Wheelie Boys. We're back to the Wheelie Boys.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it.
Who's been sitting on that one?
No? Ride them if you got them. I think I'll workshop that next week. Next week I'll come back.
Will Be Champions?
Oh, that's not too bad.
I like that. No, it's not bad. Not bad.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's the best one.
Yeah, it's a workshop that
not
one
bad,
as well.
Not too bad. Yeah.
My one's better.
Yours is.
But anyway, yeah, you know,
I'll just cross that one off my list.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, anything else happening in the world of your week? The week that is and that still is. I mean, it's only Tuesday.
Mm, well, I've been going well. Well. The non-drinking thing's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Danos's Chinese New Year party, which was because he identifies as half Chinese now. So he threw a banging party.
It was pretty good, actually.
Eight or nine courses, all cooked by Dan. Well done.
Yeah, it was very good. Well done. We did the old...
Dumplings. Made dumplings.
So we went there and then we were all put to task. Everybody had to just make them.
Roll. You had to roll
them up.
Yep.
So we were on the skinning.
Yes.
And Danos was on the cooking. I think we made maybe
400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
dang.
Yeah. It was sick. Yeah. It's really good. He doesn't want a barbecue and steams it, and everybody stands there criticizing his methods. But it's a sure thing, Sean thing.
No, steam them up. Steam dumplings, delicious.
What you got to do, Daniel's method is a flat barbie.
Yep.
And line your little soldiers up. You got to get the bottom of the dumpling nice and crisp.
Oh, delicious! Yeah.
And then he throws this broth on top of it, and then closes the lid. And steams them on the barbecue.
Yeah.
And it's quite amazing. Well done, Dan, if you're out there listening. I'll
sounds
just
pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Give you one of those.
And happy, happy New Year's, buddy.
Yeah.
Now he gets two a year. It's great.
Yeah, he does.
But very different, the Chinese New Year from the Australian New Year.
Mm, yes. It's contrast. It is. It's very food-based.
Yes, I was going to say food-based and limited alcohol, but very, very strong alcohol.
Mm. Yep. So we took Sibbity Sip Sips of...
I didn't because I'm fed fast.
It's like a rice wine.
Yep.
Yes.
Like a sake.
So it's similar, but it's $500 a bottle.
Dang.
Yeah.
Hip flask bottle, or are we talking?
It's about
450 mil.
Yeah, about that.
About that. That's expensive.
It is expensive.
How did it taste?
Rancid. It was like 70 proof?
57
proof? 57 proof. Yeah, I knew we had 7 in there somewhere.
Mm. Spicy.
It's too much.
I think it is a bit too much. Mm. Bit too much power.
Especially if you're in China meeting the in-laws for the first time. Dan, I'm talking to you.
Mm.
And, it, you know, have just another one.
Suck them back.
Have another one. Have another one. Let's get this round eye pissed.
Yeah, and Dan's the last one you want loose-lipped at the Meet the Parents dinner.
Yeah. Oh,
loose-lipped sink ships.
Sober man secret. Drunk man's speech.
Snitches get stitches. Yeah?
Jesus.
Mm. And our dear friend Maddie Whelan, that was just here for a wedding, was breaking the wedicate laws.
If you're listening, Matt, this is a bit of advice from Turnstile Records Presents The Escape Pod to you. Listen back to the wedicate episodes.
Mm.
Because Wieland was going to wing it, as they say, for the speech.
Mm. Now, it actually, his strategy was to just turn up, and apparently someone was going to pass him what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a poem. So,
oh no,
it was one of those go in for a speech, come out with a poem kind of scenarios. Mm. But I think he did all right. He did all right. I've never heard Matt read poetry before. I don't know if he put spunk on it, like made it any more rappity-rap-rap, but...
We don't really hear each other read poetry enough as a society.
Mm. Have we got a poem on us?
Anymore, do we?
Find a poem, Jeremy, and I'll drop you a funky beat over it.
I'd just like to say, just to finish that off a little bit, if you are... expected to do a speech. This works for mainly weddings or good birthdays, like big birthdays. The coach, as I've been called before, I'll swoop in if you've got to do the speech and you're feeling a little bit nervous, and I'll give you a little bit of a pep talk.
And Jeremy will come in to take credit.
Yeah. I'll give you a little bit of a pep talk, and I'll pull you aside and say, now, here's the bullet notes you got to hit.
Yeah.
You got to say how lovely everyone looks.
Mm.
How much you love the bride or your daughter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
You look amazing and I love you very much.
Yep.
Right? Love is love. Everyone loves love. So keep to the love tip.
Yep.
It's not a 21st speech. All right? Keep it all in the heart.
You're not there to throw anyone under the bus.
No,
that's right.
The opposite.
Yeah.
And then you throw in a little bit of... I love my wife, if you're doing the speech and have one.
Are you here, sweetheart? Yeah.
There she is. and I throw in I love my new son, let's just say.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Five or six things.
That's the wedicate.
Wedicate. Keep it short. Keep it about love. Keep it real. Yep. That's what I'm saying. Comments from the super coach.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'm going to get you to read a poem here, Jezbot.
Great. Can't wait for it. Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather.
Let's see if I've got one here.
Are you marking this? Or is this just going to be dead air?
Dead air.
I have a poem about homelessness.
Oh, let's hear it.
It's shallow on the street, wading through the unchosen. The costume selling cheap won't blanket from the cold. Just leave something sweet or buy the big issue. A plume of smoke blankets the police. Could you spare a change of heart? The presence of a whisper. A silent scream in an age of pain. A dog has shed its collar and left it on the pavement. Not a thought to pick it up. And there we shall remain.
He did it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to say that.
That right off the top of your head. That was pretty clever.
I hate poetry. Maybe I've just never found
Why don't you tell us
poetry.
About it, Jeremy? What do you hate about it?
The words that you're speaking drive me insane. I'm not to blame. You know my name. I'm Jezbot on the spot.
Very good. Very good. I wanted to take advantage of the soundboard, you see.
Oh, yeah, I don't know where the soundboard's been. It's
it's been right here.
I've got to interrupt. We've been talking about poetry, even read poems, even spoke poems.
Mm.
And I've just been sent a message from someone letting me know that the Waverley Shopping Centre toilets speak poetry to you and they have a furnishing of a day spa.
Right. Well, straight off the streets. Didn't we spend a night doing some crazy bebop
poetry? Yes,
poetry jams in your studio.
Right. Yeah. Joseph has mid years.
Yeah, that's right. That's
something
right.
to do with a young man named Joseph that had his mid year exams, and he was stressed.
Do you want to hear the worst poem of all time?
Mm.
It's called The Tay Bridge Disaster, written by Scottish poet William McGonagall.
Can you do it in a Scottish accent?
Give us a key word for Scottish. What's a...
Scottish.
Scottish. No, I can't. I won't. Forget it. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay. Alas, I'm very sorry to say, the 90 lives have been taken away on the last Sabbath day of 1879.
That doesn't
which
really
will
rhyme.
Be remembered for a very long time.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, that does.
And then it ends... Oh, ill-fated bridge of the Silvery Tay, I now must conclude my lay by telling the world fearless without the least of dismay.
I am gay.
Yes. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
It goes on and on and on, but you can look that up if you want. It is long.
Longer than you thought when you started.
But there's
that was poetic.
There's the bridge he was speaking of.
Oh, yeah.
A very long bridge.
Oh, okay. It came with a picture.
Mm-hmm. I think poetry needs to.
Oh, no, you didn't need to. I was about to say because you really took us there.
Mm. The Silvery Tay.
With that emotive.
Oh, what's this?
It's got a security alarm in the background.
Security alarm again.
Why is it that? Is he back?
Hello, Trevor.
There
you
it can't is. Tell because the screens aren't on.
The screens are switched off at the moment.
It's very distracting.
I didn't want to interfere. Yeah. Plus, you don't need to just watch the street.
Not
it's
really.
It's weird. A bit weird.
But you do if you live in a small town in Russia recently where they've declared a state of emergency because they've been invaded by more than 50 polar bears.
Oh, I wish we had security cameras because they're them coming.
So they're not extinct then?
The polar bears aren't extinct.
Oh, going extinct.
Aren't they going? They're on their way.
Well, their habitats are declining rapidly. Mm. They live on ice.
And then they breed with brown bears.
Ah, yeah.
And then the
hybridization.
Yeah.
Light brown bears?
Yeah.
That like the cold?
But, see,
I guess.
Tim Flannery, the former Australian of the Years, just was talking about this on Triple R this morning, that some species, as the earth changes, hybridization can help a species survive.
And it's been happening for a millennia.
A long time. Mm-hmm. You know, we hybridized, Homo sapien hybridized with Neanderthals and created a lot of the men that exist still to this day.
Like Trevor.
Trevor.
He's more Neanderthal.
Big forehead.
Than
big forehead.
Loves throwing things.
Mm. But it's neither here nor there on the intelligence of the, you know, we've all evolved since then.
Yes, we've come a long way.
You know, but obviously they're coming into the village because their homes have been damaged by the environmental changes.
I've heard that we're not that much smarter than, like, the dudes.
Than the average bear?
The Egyptian times. Same sort of brain storage capacity.
Yeah, they say that. But did you know that they alter the IQ test every year?
Oh, yeah.
Like, to account for, like, inflation and of intelligence. So, a 100's always the average. But apparently they change it every year to re-quantify.
Yeah, because what about these little snotty kids you see on TV? Their IQs of beyond Einstein.
That's right. 2000.
Is that because there's more information now that you can actually absorb as a smarty?
Yeah.
So you automatically, you know more about computers than Einstein ever would have. Because they weren't around when he was alive.
Yeah, that's true. How does that hold up with the Egyptian?
Well, it's the same brain capacity. Like, if you took an average dude from Egypt and time traveled him, how are we going to time travel him though? That's a problem.
That's an issue.
But with education, there's no reason why he can't operate a MacBook or learn another language or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what intelligence is.
Well, yes and no. Because we've all seen Encino Man.
This is a true story. Yeah. A documentary, okay.
Yep. A rockumentary, I'd say. and it was a rocking flick. Brendan Fraser, I believe it was.
Paulie Shaw.
No, yep. Paulie Shaw, squeezing the juice.
He was squeezing the juice.
That's where that came from. And, yeah, that without what we know from that movie is that without an empathetic, fun-loving sidekick, that is very difficult for someone from a previous time or a previous era to adjust. You really need a Paulie Shaw style guy to get you in the swing of things.
Yeah.
He loves love.
Yeah. Paulie Shaw does.
Yeah, he's very empathetic towards the Cro-Mag. Oh, what was his name? He came from Estonia. I get it? Because it's Stone Age. you didn't get that one? Yeah. But he did... See, I have to argue again, sure enough, because the Cro-Mag, what is his name in the movie? I would love to know. But the Cro-Magnon man did learn how to play that Rad Racer.
Oh, he's video game. Rad Racer. He sure did.
And then he learned wrestling by watching movies.
He did. He used that.
Learned how to fight. So
it's true.
Did he fall in love?
He thawed out his girlfriend from an earlier time. Yes. So you teach a man how to thaw. And he'll thaw his girlfriend out. I don't know.
She's frigid, Tim.
Okay. Not anymore.
His name was Link. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
In the missing
Link.
California team Dave Morgan, Sean Austin, is digging a pit for a pool in his backyard when he appears upon a caveman frozen in a block of ice.
Aided by his
goofy friend, Stony Paulie Shore, Dave transports their discovery to his garage, where the Neanderthal thaws and is revived. When Dave and Stoney find the living and thoroughly bewildered caveman, they attempt to pass him off as a foreign exchange student named Link, Brendan Fraser, resulting in many misadventures.
Now the misadventures, indeed. This is what I was just thinking. The Dave character is the empathetic friend you need, but the friend you want is Paulie Shaw.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be no shenanigans happening.
Unless Paulie Shaw was there. Pulling some shenanigans. Yeah, you gotta have him, wasn't. Oh, the other guy was, he was digging a pool.
Yeah.
It's kind of,
I always watch that movie.
It was the start of the film.
I could dig that hole in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
I had to throw him in there because there was no way that Paulie Shaw's character was anywhere doing manual labor.
No. Way, bro, Steve. He always rocks up late. Got my shovel.
Is this a snooze review?
I think it might be. Once again, we've gone through about 16 segments.
We have. But we're sort of talking a bit environment. We're talking about the environment.
Yeah. With the polar bears.
Yeah, with polar bears. And they're struggling, the polar bears. But do you know who else is struggling?
Bees.
Yeah.
Doing so well.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, insects, really? Apparently.
Oh, insects, yes.
50%. Where they're doing the studies, there's been a decline of insects at around 50%.
Is a spider an insect?
It's not technically, but arachnid, it's in there.
I killed two of them today.
Creepy crawlies.
Yeah. So that sort of goes against what I was about to say. What I was about to say
don't
is...
Don't kill them.
Don't. Be friends with your insects. Relocate if you can and avoid pesticides. Avoid those sprays, those nasty sprays.
Mm. Have sex with the insect. Something. I'm just trying to think of a slogan. Trying to get everybody. Yeah. Hashtag.
That's right.
Getting everybody into it. Because sex sells. So yeah, it does. Have sex with the insects.
Yeah. It ain't weird, Flex. Have some sex with insects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she did on
weird,
that.
Flex. Have some sex with insects. Ain't weird, yep. Flex.
And the ants pants. She was probably a pioneer of animal insect sex.
Insect
bestiality.
Sex.
Bestiality.
Yeah, true.
Yep. She had the ants crawling all over her business.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Her junk.
No, mm-hmm. She was using the insects as foreplay.
She seemed pretty happy about
it. You ever been snipped by one of those little snippers on those ants?
You don't want to get bitten by an ant.
Not on the genitals.
Oh, and then she gets the echidna involved.
Yeah, that's
the whole
who
thing.
Who she's really into.
Because she's covered in ants.
You can't get the echidna into it unless you've got ants crawling up.
Yeah, it's like the lonely lady with the jar of honey. Mm-hmm. Or a peanut butter trick.
How's that?
Yeah. Well, it's like a professional.
And a pet dog.
Right.
You know, just a little company. All it takes is a jar of peanut butter.
Something tasty.
Yeah. You don't know what happens in your home with your dogs when you're not there, Jezbot.
Well, they pushed over the bin yesterday. I was very disappointed.
Mm, looking for peanut butter. More peanut butter, sorry.
Oh, well. That's what happens when you find something you like. Look after your insects. I reckon just also there's thoughts that, you know, like we do a lot to maintain our yards, make them look beautiful.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
Pull out weeds, things like that.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
Apparently, there's schools of thought, scientists that say this is bad for our insect friends because they live in all those things.
They do. And weeds have flowers too.
Well, that's it.
Have feelings. Yeah, feelings, my feelings.
Weeds have feelings.
Put out, like I said in previous podcasts, put out a bloody dish of water for the bees or the birds.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt you, does it?
That's right. We look to all these big companies for doing big things.
But act locally as
well. But we fail to act on the small as well. And that's just another way you can.
Another small way you can... You know, help the little people is listening to this podcast.
Today on the show, we're going to make preference.
Preference.
Worst segue ever.
Is it?
Yeah, that was. That was my bad.
Okay.
You saved me with the sound effect.
Okay, great. That's what the soundboard's there for.
Well, we're kind of getting to the end of the episode. This is a Feffernuss.
Yep.
This is just a way to wrap up the show if we've got anything to announce or to get off our chests for next week.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we would say it.
Yep.
And
I've got 10 days on my own. Vanessa's going away on a business conference.
Yes.
So I'm going to be eating bachelor chow for 10 days, I think.
Mm.
2 minute noodles,
chip hot dogs.
Did you start today?
I did actually. Yeah.
When we came in, there was
it's out of the year.
It was delicious. I got to tell you, hot dogs
and chips.
Yeah, big ups to that chicken shop. They make some tasty chips.
They do. And I was asking you about comparing it to Red Rooster chips, and sounded like there was no competition there.
There was no competition.
And can we have an update? You sent us a video of you going off your
looking
off your tits.
Listen.
Driving around looking for a Red Rooster that wasn't there.
I wasn't driving around looking for one. Let's get this straight. But I live close to the city.
Yeah.
And in the city, there's lots of billboards. And the billboard, they like to hype up Red Rooster a lot. And it's very difficult to find a Red Rooster.
Yeah. See, it's not the kind of fast food joint that you'd find on a billboard. Because it's not...
Out of suburbs... Red Roosters everywhere. CBD.
That's right. Obviously,
so
they're trying to appeal to they're trying to get in the people leaving the city in their head, so they when they're getting peckish in the car home around there, they can buy some. But you know, as a avid follower and fan of the Red Rooster Enterprise, you know, sometimes I see their ads and I might be particularly peckish, and like I don't have the luxury these days due to injury and so forth to trounce about to any suburb looking for
just
any
looking.
Red Rooster feel to satisfy my Red Rooster urges. I get a little bit frustrated, and I just thought I'd vent to you guys a little bit.
No, that was fine.
It's good
fair
for us.
So would you be punching the billboards in the face?
We're jumping back to...
This is the fair for us. Well, that's good.
We've got Rose Street Market coming up on March the 10th. if this airs before that, which I'm sure it will.
And
where's that?
Rose Street Market, Fitzroy.
Rose Street Market, Melbourne. Fitzroy.
So we've got VM Ceramics, a show sponsor now, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she paying us?
Nope. Okay. Oh, she pays me in other ways, Jeremy.
Yeah, I bet she does. By leaving you for 10 days.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we'll get some more podcasts done then.
I would. What was I going to. What was I going to fucking say?
You had a fair finish, did you?
Yeah, I did.
You weren't one of those people that was going to go to Mars on that Mars One mission, were you?
No, I didn't qualify mathematically. So
did you try?
No,
I did meet one of the one of the mothers.
Did you
of the daughter? Yeah, the mother Australian chick.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What was that fucking thing I was going to say? God.
Oh, they went bankrupt.
Damn it!
No one's going.
No one's going.
No what? One's going.
Oh yes, right. My Pfeffernuss. This is going out to the listeners that enjoy the hike. You all know who you are. That are listening. I'm planning the trip to Wilson's Prom. I'm going to go on a Turnstile Records presents the Wilson's Prom hike.
Well, so we do have other. We do have other
business to attend to down there.
Yeah, because we that's where we witnessed a
murder.
A group UFO sighting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really,
and yeah. We wanted to see if we could go down there and. Resummon it using some
LSD.
Summoning powers.
Untraditional techniques.
It's like it's a seance for UFOs, basically.
Pretty much. Does it work like that?
Yeah, kind
well,
of.
They
you
say
have
it
to
does.
Have intent.
Mm, so we're going to try and go down there with the intent to recreate the scenario and see if we get some current result and throw in a hike on top.
Yeah, so if you're one of those people that have gone down to the Wilson's Prom, part of the crew, you know who you are. Hit us up. I'm going to get something together during May.
Okay.
Or even if you're not and you just want to see an alien ship.
Mm.
Yeah, there you go.
Or see Jeremy's alien kadooblies stepping out of a tent and falling out of the bottom of his bike shorts that he likes to hike in. if someone's going to sight something on that trip. That's it.
Today on the show, we're going to make Pfeffernuss.
Yeah, well, that's another episode in the bag. Thanks for listening, everyone. On behalf of Turnstile Records Presents The Escape Pod, I'm Jezbot.
I'm Timmy Taco.
And thanks for having me. I'm Sean Enough.
Any other final notice and final thoughts? No.
Hard pass.
Thank you for pressing the self-destruct button. The ship will self-destruct in exactly 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
One pod left, and three of us.
The escape pod.
Escape pod.
The escape pod. What if there are droids in the escape pod? The sensors wouldn't pick them up.
The escape pod sounds really nice.
Well, boys, it's a very lovely ship. I think you should go down. Goodbye.
This is Timmy Taco with just a little outro. You might have noticed we were called the Escape Pods at one point, but we did make a jump towards a new name, Jumping the Turnstile. So don't get confused. We are still Jumping the Turnstile. That was Slam Poetry. And we love you very much. That is all. Goodbye. No, you hang up.